UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Time now for the B Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Man, boy, did you miss a great game at Duke? Actually, I didn't miss a great game at Duke. I watched it on TV. I had a pretty interesting game myself, which I'll get to at Arizona and Colorado. But tonight is the big band night at Comedy Caravan. I'm getting over there tonight. No ifs, ands, or buts. Don't give a rat's ass. I'm going. Don't care. Don't care about nothing. You get your car.
But
you
Dad,
get
it it's done. My birthday.
What? I don't care. Dad, you realize that you know this is the day that that I'm getting the Nobel Prize. Sorry. Video it. Can you FaceTime me?
Jamie's getting in the Nobel.
No,
Prize.
He already got it. Hi there. Welcome to Monday on ESPN 680 105.7. Let's see what we're doing here.
We have Seth Greenberg coming up at 1:30.
Yeah, but I can't just sit here and silently till then.
But I mean, you could. It'd be very avant-garde radio. I'm not sure that would really be great, but
I love coming in after Locke's show.
It's a Mill and Tony's Monday, by the way.
Oh, but we don't have any food.
Oh, the intern Spunky's off to get
it. Atta boy, Spunkster. Because I have no, like, I'm going to get to these games, but what the hell does this mean? Zero is the bomb.
Oh, it's the Mountain Dew, the new Mountain Dew Zero.
Another Locke's lock is wrong. Kitten won, Locke nothing. He's betting against cats now? What is that?
Drew's little kitten. Rhonda. No, not Rhonda. Sorry. Rousey. Rousey got out. Yeah. And it was like negative a jillion last
night. Oh, I know.
So they didn't know how the heck the little sucker snuck out, okay. But it did. And they've been looking for him. And
Her.
And she got the nickname because she beats up all the other little kittens, which is kind of cute. Locke was being, I don't want to say pessimistic, kind of realistic, saying, you know, a little kitten is stuck in last night's weather. They might not be able to find it, but they found it. So. Kitten, yeah. Kitten
so,
won
so
Locke's.
Locke was on brand, in other words, always assuming the very
there was
worst.
Actually verbatim, that's what a text came down saying that's very on brand for Locke.
Exactly.
To bet against the kitten.
Let me tell you, not only will you find her dead, here's what she'll look like when she's dead. Some probably other animals will come over and rip their guts out.
A little Rousey, she's home now.
Good. That's good news for everybody. It's a happy ending. Locke awkwardly saying, "You don't really need to wish me a happy MLK Day. It's probably the best walk-off in 680 history." Don't know what the hell that means either.
I wished him a happy Martin Luther King Day, and he said, "I already said that, Nick." I said, "I know, but I hadn't said it, and I'm wishing it to you." And he paused and said, "Well, you don't really need to, wish me it, and then don't drive slowly in the left lane." It was amazing. It really was.
Okay.
It was an absolute amazing gem.
All right. I'm sorry. I was in Beatles mode this morning, so I.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Well, it wasn't. I'm just telling you the truth.
What did you say, by the way, as you were walking in here? Because you had this like goofy grin on your face, and everyone in the back was just going, "Oh, I heard Bob, 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 Bob," like from Marcus and Andy.
Did
you drop a bomb before you came in?
Yeah, but I don't want to start the show with that because I'm not in a confrontational mood. I was just making the statement that, that talking about Louisville and the journey that is their season, and. You know, and I sent the tweet out, and I mean, listen, it's not a matter of all. It's a humble brag. It's a matter of the fact that I use it as an example that I think if you got, you know, it's got like 1,100 likes on it. And so I'm going to guess that it resonated with some people. Is that safe to say? You could, right? I mean, that's not being a humble brag. That's saying, I guess, it resonated at least with some segment of the fan base. And is what the what I said specifically was, so that I don't misquote my own self, was...
You can misquote yourself, though, right? You can't sue yourself for that.
No, I would be... Well, I could, but even with our friend Keith Pointer, I wouldn't get very far with that. What I said was, so for the record, U of L is now 15-3, and all three of the losses are to ranked teams. Tied for first in the ACC, just one at Duke. If you're still pouting about something with this team, please don't call my show this week. Keep it to yourself. The rest of us are appreciating and enjoying this. It's got almost 1,400 likes, okay? And it's not a matter of, because yes, I realize that there's two things at work here. One, sometimes, like anybody who tries to put a little time in to find some kind of background for why they feel what they feel, I get a little strident. I do. A little know-it-allness. Okay. Guilty as charged. I try to avoid that. And I also think, despite that, I've had some times when I've said, this is how I feel, blah, 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 and a guy's called in and said, well, do you realize this? And I said, oh, you know, I hadn't thought of that. Okay, you know, and I've changed my mind. I'm proud, happy about that, because I think that's what you should do. I'm trying to get my winter coat off here. I'm sorry. But if guilty as charged if that's come across. But the other thing is that somehow, like, the fans think I'm trying to lecture them. I'm not, but I will tell you the truth. I did get, this is full disclosure up front, and then we'll get into the whole text and the team and the story and everything else. There is a certain emotional investment in this. I happen to think Vince Tyra is a terrific guy, and I like him personally very much, and I like the job he's done. And these are the two most high-profile things an athletic director does, is hire a football coach and hire a basketball coach. So I don't take it very cavalierly when I think people are just being dismissive and based on things that I don't think are fair or accurate or particularly insightful. So that's my, I'm just telling you that. Doesn't mean anybody, oh, you don't want to criticize. No, no, no. Nobody and nothing is above reproach and above criticism. Of course not. And this team's not perfect and blah, and all those things. But some of them were simply, like I said, there was an element of the fan base simply mad they lost to Kentucky. I don't want to open that can of worms again. But even if you weren't in that group, that they didn't play super impressively in some wins, okay? I get that. I mean, nobody's disputing that. But here are the main points that I think outweigh that observation. The first one is, and I think this is the main one, and that's why I sent that tweet out. In the big picture, they're 15-3. The three losses are to nationally ranked teams, only one of which was in their own building. And they're 6-1 in the ACC, tied for first place. They just beat Duke at Duke. I've been trying to say from the beginning of the season, you need to look at the big picture. And rather than they just play one game, they didn't play to the level you would have liked. Well, here's the key thing about that. If they were doing that and all these other teams that you think are national caliber teams are just kicking ass and taking names of everybody, then you say, okay, we got a problem. But not only are those teams having games where they're less than impressive, they're losing those games. They're losing games to unranked teams on a regular basis. Take a look out there. It's everywhere. Everybody gets peanuts this year. So that's going on all over the place. And they're doing it in their own building. So why would you go over the top that this is, they've won these games. That's for starters. So again, success is always relative. If I go play golf, and I shoot a 65. Well, that sounds good, but I don't know. Suppose I'm in a field where everybody else has shot 58. Then it's not so good, is it? Well, if you look at what's going on in basketball, what Louisville is doing, other teams are having a very, very difficult time to do, ergo not lose to unranked teams. They're all losing to unranked teams. They're losing in their building. It's going on all over the place. So I said, you have to look. So even when that was going on, I was trying to let's keep a little perspective. And I'll say it again. They may go out against Georgia Tech now and struggle to win. It wouldn't shock me. Would not shock me at all, because that's how this league is wired. But what you look at is, are they a team that can do all the things that can make a deep run in March. Yes, they can. Does that mean they're going to? No. Does that mean anybody's going to? No. You don't know that now. You may think you do, but you don't. And even if they do it well, somebody may do it better. The margin of separation is not great, but to try and get in that group that's legitimately in the discussion to say, you know what, they can make a deep March run, even in the games where you say, quote unquote, they struggled against Pitt or against Notre Dame, they still did things that didn't undermine that. Here's what I mean. Do they defend? They've defended every game. Have they had possessions where they didn't defend? Well, of course they have. But if you look at them, are they capable of playing a high level of defense? What would your answer be? I would say yes. Are they capable of shooting the basketball? Now, they've had some games where it looks like they can't throw it in the ocean. I understand that. But are they capable, more often than not, of shooting the ball? I would say yes. Do they rebound the basketball? They've had some games where you say, gosh, how are they letting this team out-rebound? But by and large, their rebounding numbers, you'd look at them and say, yes, they can out-rebound the ball. Okay. Do they have the two areas that were legitimately of some to be discussed, including Pitt and Notre Dame, and those were games where I came out of it and said, you know what, there's actually something good there, but nobody wants to hear that, is do they have the resiliency late to close games out? And that has been a big priority of Chris's since the end of last season. Finish, 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 let's close games out. And that's three games in a row they've done that now. And one among the hardest places to do it in the country. I would say that's extremely encouraging, including about Pitt and including about Notre Dame. So they are capable of doing that. Does that mean if they get down 10 in the tournament, they're going to come back and win the game? I don't know. Maybe not. But they're capable. They have shown the resilience that a championship caliber team needs to have. And they showed it in those games. And focusing on all the little things, what they were laughing about in the back, as I said, the analogy, like, you know, I think there's two reasons why people are reluctant to say, well, good things. Because number one, they think it sounds honky. They think, oh, you're just a honk. It's much more sophisticated. This is what made them laugh. To say, well, every time, you know, Johnson dribbles twice with his left hand, Wara gets diarrhea. I mean, it's, well, what? What are you talking about? But no, I'm telling you. And you sound, well, this guy must really know stuff because I never saw that anywhere else. So you sound more knowledgeable when you're critical. And nobody wants to be sound like a simpleton. But I mean, you know, so they avoid that. The second thing, and I'm dead serious about this. You can laugh all you want, but I'm dead serious about this. It's the video game syndrome. You take your computer, you turn it on, and the players all do the same thing every game. That's where they're wired. That's what they do. You play Temco or whatever it is, and Bo Jackson is going to run for 7,000 yards every single game. Temco, whatever that's called. Okay? That's because he's a little computer guy. And as Phil pointed out, well, you know what? Sometimes the game's trying to recreate real life. The players will have human reactions, like they'll be fatigued. So you're playing with LeBron James, and you look, why is he playing so bad? And you look, oh, fatigue factor's 50. So what do? You click the button, you push it back up to 90. And then he's good again. And I really believe there's people like, why can't, you know, Chris push that button? Why can't Chris push the button and just make him go back to 90? And that, what I'm saying is it doesn't work that way. And so we get ourselves wound up over things. I think we overreact. It doesn't mean I'm trying to persuade you they were great in those games. But what I'm persuading you is the wins were way more significant in ways that you're dismissing too cavalierly. Not the least of which was the resourcefulness they showed to come back and win. So that was the first question. The second question was, can they win without Jordan? And I think War, to his credit, you know, he said, whether, I don't know, behind closed doors, he's really mad or something. But the fact of the matter is, he seemed very, his comments were great. They seemingly have a great chemistry. They seemingly are getting along. I'm sure behind closed doors, there's some frustration if a kid doesn't play or whatever. The fact of the matter is, they have a lot of good things that came out of that, even games where you didn't go walk away and go, wow. It's not figure skating. Not every game they're going to go, wow. There's not a team in the country that comes away every game you go, wow. And even if, you know, and the problem is some of those games where those other teams have not come away with the wow factor, they've lost at home to unranked teams. That's going, there's been last year, all year, there were six games that ranked top, I forget what it was, top five, top 10. I don't know what the number is, but some highly ranked team. I got the stat. Lost to an unranked team. That was all of last season. This year, there's already been 13. More than twice as many. We're barely halfway through January. So that's what I was trying to say. And so, you know, you find out if all of those things had happened, like I'll give credit. I will give credit. I do give credit where it's due. When Bobby was still here at the football team and they won those two games early, and I certainly am not, you know, by any means a football analyst, but they won. Remember, they won the two games early and they didn't look very good. And I said, and the one game was against, I guess, Indiana State in the monsoon. And I said, well, I think that that's, you know, a pretty good indication of why they struggled some, because of, you know, you got to incorporate the elements. And Locke, who can be, of course, as we know, Dr. Doom, but said, no, I'm telling you, those games are going to be indicative of the level they play at. And he was right. They were not impressive in the win, but some of the things we saw in those games, maybe we should have taken. I'm still not sure, because I'm still not so sure if they hadn't closed the game out against Florida State, that everything wouldn't have been better, because that's whenever he turned on the players, they turned on him, and bup, bup, bup. So, you know, that there's that. But in this case, not to be, you know, hey, I know, but I'm saying I'm there. I practice. I'm watching. I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to understand. There was way too much of the overreaction. Those were good wins, very good wins. All kidding aside about the discussion, and now we're going to cherry pick, I guess, Ken Palm's stat about winning on the road. It's difficult. It's more difficult to win on the road than it is at home. We'll leave it at that. We can all agree with that. So the fact of the matter is, those were significant. And then they get a real test. And if they'd come out and absolutely sucked, then I could see you saying, okay, well, but the fact of the matter is, they didn't. They didn't suck. They were good. And they answered questions. They were resilient. The number one question. Number two question, can they win without Wara? Yeah. I mean, they can. And they did the things that they've done, you know, not 100% of the time. Nobody does it 100% of the time. It's not a video game. They played good defense. They rebound. But I'll say this, though. I'll tell you, this is the other thing I take away from that game. That when I remember we talked about, now you are who you are, according to Fred Carter. This team is very, very good when they run. They're going to have to run. They are going to have to find ways to push the ball. I know he wants to. It's not a matter of he's doing it begrudgingly. He wants to. But they have got to get that defense to get some stops, get clean rebounds. That's when you get your break started. If you get the pinball rebound, it's great that you have the ball, but it's hard to get a break going. You got to get a good stop, get a clean rebound, and they've got to run well. That's when they are very, very good. Those are the two things that they, night in and night out, have to be striving for. The other stuff is going to be not exactly the same every night. That's what the deal is. I mean, you look at it, and certainly, and David Johnson was absolutely spectacular. There's no getting around that. But having watched all the way back to when my brother played Duke, that's a perfect matchup for him. They are going to really extend, and he can get around guys. I mean, let's face it. That move he made dribbling to his left with the two-hand dunk, there's no other guard in the program that could do that. None. So he does things that some of the other guys cannot do, and that's a great skill. But there are also the key is all the other people getting contributions. That's not an easy game for Ryan. We've talked about that, the way they play. But when the game was getting wobbly, he came in and made an enormous three-point shot. Fresh continues to, when crunch time is there, make good decisions. You can trust him. David's going to have to continue to get better. You heard Chris say it himself. We're going to have to just – that's part of the process. That's part of the process that was with Notre Dame and with Pitt. You're not at practice every day. How do you get to the point where you figure out how to minimize some of the mistakes and play around some of those mistakes and maximize the good stuff? As Chris said, at the end of the game, he threw it to the other team a couple of times. He did. And they said, we're just going to have to try and work around that because he brings some skills that we need. Fine, good. That's part of the process. That's the whole point of the thing. And so, you know, that's especially in light of this season, you have to look at this season relative to this season. You can't look at it comparing it to, you know, Denny's 1980 team or 86 team or anything else. And then that's the whole point. So that's the point I was trying to make. And it's just, you know, with that, you say, okay, well, we had some games that they, you know, had to struggle through a little bit, and you people, again, perfect example, they went over the top in their criticism. I don't suggest you go over the top now and be euphoric, because they may struggle against Georgia Tech. That's the way the league works. Louisville put an ass whipping on Miami twice. Florida State, who's legitimately good, legitimately worthy of a ranking, had to go to overtime with Miami. That's the way the league works. Everybody gets peanuts. So that's the point. So you try not to make too much, but you can walk away from this and say that was very significant, because not only did they win at Cameron, which doesn't happen very much, they won at Cameron after they'd just gotten beat, which happens even more rarely, and they did it by having to come back late, which was the single biggest priority that Chris talked about coming into this year. I know that game last year against Duke, he called it the hardest loss he's ever taken, and with good reason. Your first year, if you can beat Duke, that establishes a lot for you and your program and your reputation, and you know, and they had it in their hands. So, you know, people are coming in with things to support it. I mean, exactly right, making the point. Michigan State lost by 30 last weekend. It happens. You know, it absolutely happens. And the other guy says, literally saw people saying this doesn't make up for losing to Kentucky. Those people need help. Well, I don't need help, but I can't speak to them because I can't be Superman and spin back the clock and go play the game again. So, like I said, this is going to sound a bit, if it sounds like a little bit now I'm getting a little pompous, I apologize, but I have to tell you the truth. I don't think you're really a basketball fan or even a Louisville fan if you're that way. You're just an anti-Kentucky guy. You just want to beat them so badly so that you can tell Ed and IT off at the water cooler. And that's you know, again, I'm sorry. How dare you say I'm not a fan? Okay, well, I don't see it that way. I see if you're really a fan, you look at the big picture. They lost in overtime on the road. And I got news for you. Kentucky's one of those teams in discussion. They're good. That was a very significant win at Arkansas, you know. So you got to look at the big picture of things. And I stand by what I said. They've lost three times, all to ranked teams, two of which were not at home, when all across the country. I wasn't at Duke because I was at another actually very – I'm glad I did the game. We haven't done very many Pac-12 games on ESPN Radio, but this year we're adding a few. And the game I had was an interesting one because Colorado was ranked – Arizona is not ranked, and they played in Tucson at Arizona, and I said, if I don't know, we were on here, and Louisville wasn't on, so maybe some of you heard the game, I said, and I stand, I've had a day or two to reflect on it, I stand by what I said, how Arizona is not ranked, how in God's green earth they're not ranked is a mystery to me, absolutely a mystery to me. So I imagine if you're in Arizona, you're asking the same thing about your team. What the hell? How can they were so good? Trust me, they're a team that has a chance.
How good were they?
They're one of those teams that you better put on your list to have a chance. I mean, he's got spectacular freshmen, and freshmen have to come together. He's got some things he's working through. Chase Jeter, I guess, is just he says he's hurt, and who am I to doubt a kid saying he's hurt? So he probably is really hurt, but. You know, a little cryptically, he was not in the lineup Saturday, but Sean Miller said, we were thinking of making a change anyway. So that lets you know. I may be wearing out his welcome there. They're probably better without him. But they are the guard, the former NBA player, people of my generation remember, Pace Mannion. His son, Nico, is a stud. That kid is terrific. And then
our boy Cooper has loved him since day one.
And Zeke Nnaji, the kid inside. And if he plays like that, hello, Katie bar the door. 12 rebounds, 12 points in 36 minutes. He was everywhere. They got another good freshman in Josh Green. I mean, these kids are they're he's got a nice bunch. He's got enough off the bench. Walt Hazard's grandson, for those who can shoot the hell out of it, he had been in a slump. Like I mean, hello Luke, if you're listening, a Luke-ish kind of slump. When Luke got here and he wasn't making anything, everybody was booing him, and then all of a sudden he caught fire. Hazard went out of his mind the game before this, and this game he was 3 of 6 behind the 3-point line. He gives them another great 3-point threat. Defensively, they're very good. They held Colorado to 36% shooting. They just overwhelmed them. And Colorado's good. Colorado's good too. I mean, they've got a couple of really good players in their starting lineup. Tyler Bay is a 6'7" junior who they really put the clamps on him. The best player for them in this game was probably McKinley Wright, who's also a junior. They are an experienced team, Colorado, and Arizona's got the capability of being. But they're proving my point though. Arizona has been you know, I'm not saying like Louisville. They've been different than Louisville. They've been losing games and making people scratch their head like, what the hell is going on with this team early, especially with so many freshmen. You know, they lost to Baylor by 5. They lost at home by Gonzaga to 4, and they lost to St. John's by 3. That's the one that had people. St. John's not bad. That's a game you wouldn't expect them to lose. So they've had some questionable results. They barely got by Pepperdine. They barely got by Penn. So there's the same deal. But then they lost some games too. They lost that St. John's game, and they, you know, that's the point. So, and you, I'm telling you, they got probably as much talent as anybody in the country. They're really, really good. They've got 5 losses already. 5. They're unranked, 5 losses, and they had to win this game to get over 500 in their league. So that's more typical about what we're seeing than what Louisville's done. So that was the whole point of that discussion. We got so many things I want to get to, and the text included. One of which, what did you think about Coach K's comments after the game? A couple of people asked me about that. I think in fairness to him, when you read the headlines, because I read the headlines too, and I was like, whoa, that seemed a little strong. But then when I read the comments, they took like the 3 most flammable statements in the bunch, and they highlighted those. And I was like, well, he went out of his way 3 different times by my count to compliment Louisville. Say, no, they were really good. They were better than us. Who's to say if the game were officiated differently, they wouldn't have beat us anyway? I mean, so I didn't take it as a sour grapes. He said, I'm not a sour grapes guy. People are like, oh, baby whining. But the fact of the matter is, none of those were highlighted. None of those were highlighted. They just highlighted him saying, that this is like the old Big East. I thought it was a wrestling match out there. I thought it was, you know, the guys were beating each other up, and I don't want to see the game go back to being played that way. And I agree with him. He didn't say we got screwed. He didn't say that day because people's point out, well, you shot twice as many free throws as Louisville. Well, he didn't say we got screwed. He said the game style was one that he didn't like to see. And he said, who's to say if it was called differently, they wouldn't have still beat us. I'm not saying that. So I think that is one of the many things that is being discussed right now is how the game, you know, because I had a guy say that to me over the weekend too. God, I wish we'd get back to the Big East and let them play. Really? I'm not sure about that. You watch some of those videos. Because officiating, again, every week is part of the discussion. You got, what's his name, Ben Howland got fined for making his statements. Coach K was not happy. Fans every weekend are pissed off. Every weekend. And so I sent this out on Twitter. And this is not meant to be snarky. I'm not lecturing anybody again. They're legitimate questions I asked. And that's how I phrased it. And we got a lot of response. Hopefully people took it in the vein I meant it. Again, in the interest of full disclosure, my father reffed for 30 years, and there would sometimes be some incredible discussions in our house because my brother Jim was like all most coaches, trying to, you know, just bellyache and whine, and my father would say what he said. But I'm cognizant of both sides. I coached and dealt with some referees. You know, I had leagues where there was one guy that I asked the league to not put him on my games anymore because for some reason I thought he had a real problem with me. So I get it. So I'm human too. But I will say this. These are my observations when every week I hear people complaining. And these were my questions. I'm not lecturing. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm asking these questions straight up. Where do the people think all the better officials are than the ones we're using now? Where are they hiding? I mean, if it's so easy to do that we should just replace these guys, where are the guys who are better? You remember when the NFL refs went on strike? The games were a complete travesty. A complete travesty. I mean, so I can understand if you say, my God, if they, you know, it's like if you follow a baseball team and you got a guy at third base who's batting 180 and you see a guy in the minor leagues who's batting 450, you'd say, well, that guy's better. But I got news for you. I don't know where they'd be. I'm just curious where you think they are. So, I mean, that was the first thing. The second thing is, you know, if what do you think if these officials, if you do think that these are the best that are out there, what's keeping them from working at a level that you find satisfactory? Is it knowledge? They don't know the rules. They're not making an effort. They're in bad shape. What specifically is pissing you off so much, other than, well, I think he missed a call? I'm asking, because if you think these are the best out there, and I'm not sure they're not. In fact, I'm fairly confident that most people think they are, and I'll tell you what proof I have of that in a minute. Okay, so then how do you make them better if you think it's so you know, poor? I think the officials, my opinion, are in better physical shape and better prepared than ever. So if officiating is so poor, what can they do differently? I mean, if you're just going to stand here and say they suck, why do they suck? You got to help me here a little bit. I also think officiating is no worse. Maybe it's no better, but it's certainly no worse than a generation ago. Do you agree with that or not? Do you not think that's the case? Do you think, oh, no, I'll tell you. Let me bring the names up from 35, 40 years ago. Those guys could ref. These guys don't know what they're doing. If you don't agree with that, why not? Why would you think that they're, you know, not as good now? And finally, and this is the other thing I get all the time. If officials were to be made available for a Q&A after games, do you think this would help? Perhaps they would own up to their mistakes, but so what? The NBA has a website that regularly lists missed calls. I don't see anybody celebrating the NBA refs. Oh, yeah, you know, I love those guys, because when they screwed it up, that guy was on there saying, yep, he screwed that one up. What would you hope it would achieve other than giving you some satisfaction? Maybe you're humiliating the guy. You know, maybe you're embarrassing him. Every weekend's the same anger, including coaches getting fined for comments. But I used to go this evening with my own coaches, to be honest with you. I would ask them in meetings, what do you guys, I understand if we all want to vent here, but what do you think we can do about this? What do you want to do? Because to just go on and say they stink, they got to be better. How? How do they have to be better? What can we do about that? It said, I just think it's a very hard job. I think it's being made immensely harder by the replay scrutiny, the super slow motion, high def stuff. And, you know, I think that basically it's not quite as simple a solution as you might think. But what could be done? I could be persuaded. And so some people gave us some good responses. And I'll get to those in a minute. But we have breaking news here. The new AP poll was out. Just got released. And Baylor has jumped Gonzaga to take over the top spot. Baylor leaped into the number one spot. Wins over Iowa State and Oklahoma State to give the top 25 its seventh team on top in the season. Baylor 1, Gonzaga 2, Kansas 3, unbeaten San Diego State 4, Florida State 5, Louisville up to 6.
Where's UK?
Dayton is 7, Duke is 8, Villanova is 9, Seton Hall is 10, Michigan State's 11, Oregon's 12, Butler's 13, West Virginia's 14, Kentucky's 15, moving ahead of Auburn, who's now 16. Maryland is 17, Texas Tech is 18, Iowa is 19, Memphis is 20, Illinois having a surprisingly good year, 21. Arizona gets back in the rankings. They should be in the rankings at 22. They move ahead of Colorado, who stays in the rankings but drops three spots to 23. Rutgers moves up to 24 with their win over Minnesota, and Houston slides in at number 25. So seven number ones. It gives you an idea. I mean, that's the whole point. Everybody's getting peanuts. That's the whole point.
So. Literally, as you said that, speaking of peanuts, I'm going to retweet this because I think it's pretty darn cool. But there's in Sri Lanka, a wild elephant just wandered into a Sri Lankan hotel and was walking very quietly and dainty somehow through the hotel. Didn't break the floor or anything like that, but just was gently poking things and exploring with his trunk. It was just like, oh, hey, look, a little chandelier. Oh, hey, look, you know, some apples on the counter as you walk in. So when you said peanuts, I just thought of an elephant getting peanuts. But I just retweeted this thing. It's pretty damn cool. At Nikki Vespin, by the way.
Okay.
You're at ESPN V Show, and at ESPN 680 is the Fan Outfitters Twitter feed. So
there,
boom.
You go.
I had to seamlessly work that in.
Officials aren't held accountable for bad calls. That's not remotely true, and here's what I mean by that. They are absolutely – did you know that every single time they blow the whistle gets evaluated by their league supervisor? Everyone. And they grade them on how many they think they get right. And it says it's become the official show. Just look at their reactions during block charges. When you know an official by name, they're not doing a good job. That's not necessarily true either. I mean, we live in a city that knows the players' favorite, you know, T-shirt companies. So we would know who the officials were. When I was a little kid, I mean, the best officials, I followed the NBA religiously. I knew the Mendy Rudolphs, the Richie Powers. They were the best refs. Jack Madden, Jake O'Donnell, they were the best referees in the game. And so we knew their names. In fact, you were happy when you had them on your game. So I don't agree with that. And they're held accountable because if they get more calls wrong than they get right, they don't work. They do not work. They don't work in the postseason. So there's no reason they would not have a motivation to get the calls right. But it goes back to the other point, though. If you want to say when they aren't held accountable, somebody said, how about relegation for bad refs? That's a kind of a variation on a theme from a lot of you, that why don't they take these bad guys out and replace them? Here's the point. And I'll tell you what the other point is. And these two go hand in hand. And I understand both of them. I do. I'm just saying to you, I'm merely here telling you that it's not as simple as some people want to make it. They're just so mad, as if it's like, you know, why couldn't you just take that pie and put it on the table? How the hell did you miss the table and drop it on the floor? It's not that simple, I don't think. That's my opinion. Maybe it was. I mean, maybe generations ago it was then simple, and these guys are just terrible. But I don't think so. And here's to that point. The other criticism I get, besides not relegating refs, for lack of a better word, is they work too many games. You know, Roger Ayers, I believe, has worked. There was a stretch where he worked like, I don't know what it was, 50-some-odd days in a row. You know, leagues play on Sunday. He worked 50-some-odd games in a row. And you could say, well, how the hell does he do that? And that's why I tell you about the relegation part. Because here's the problem with all the people. Here's the third thing I get. They should be full-time. You know what? And my brother used to say that all the time. These guys, why do they have another job? I'm here working. I'm going to get fired over what they do. And meanwhile, they turn around Monday and they go back to work at their bank. But, you know, if you're like Roger Ayers, it's essentially full-time for starters. But even if you put that aside, here's the other reason why you're going to have a hard time. If you said make them full-time, then you've got to have a national coordinator of officials. And if you say, no, you don't, the ACC could make them full-time. No, they couldn't. Because what would happen is if a league tried to do that, the best referees would say, I ain't signing on. Because right now, Roger Ayers can work in the Big East, in the ACC, in the Big Ten. Everybody wants him. And why does everybody want him? Because to that other point, there's not an ease to find other good officials to step in and take their place. Do you think if it were that easy to find guys, they would be allowing guys to work in 5 and 6 different leagues? They'd tell them to go hit the road, tell your story walking. I got 50 guys here as good as you are, and I'll make them my full-time crew in this league. They can't afford to do that, because their coaches will revolt at them. Wait a minute, you can get mad if you want to, but these guys suck, but that's not their perception. You let John Gaffney and Roger Ayers and Mike Eads, you let them walk? Yeah, why'd you do that? Well, we wanted to make them full-time, and they said, we ain't going to do full-time because, you know, I got other leagues that want to pay me, and I want to work there, so I'm not doing it. Okay, so then you say, all right, well, for us to take them, then we've got to take them semi on their terms, because they're going to want to work in more than one league, and we can't give them an ultimatum, because if we do, then they'll just say, okay, well, I'll work in the other four leagues. I won't work in your league. If they all went and tried to make them full-time, that's still going to be a problem. Then you're going to get a bidding war for referees. I mean, I guess you can do that. But now, you know, to get the best refs in your league, I don't know what they're making now. They're making a lot of money. Probably have to double it. So, I mean, from a practical standpoint, the leagues are just going to say it doesn't work. And as I said, and the big thing is there, if you tell them to tell their story walking, you're going to have a hard time finding guys that the coaches are going to think as good. You know, coaches are your Uncle Sol, who just like to piss and moan about stuff. This brisket, it doesn't matter. I turn every family into a Jewish family now. You know, but I mean, you know, he just wants to complain.
Is the Jewish family allowed to eat brisket?
Of course they are. Oh my God.
I'm thinking pork.
What the hell are you talking about? That's sacrilegious. Good Lord. There
apologies
be
to everybody.
People
to
from
everybody.
The Jewish Community Center are lined up outside the door trying to ready to kick your ass.
It's fair.
I mean, don't you watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel? That's what she's known for, making brisket.
I haven't watched that show yet. I need to get on board with it.
I mean, so the fact of the matter is, you know, the hell, now you've completely knocked me off my train of thought. You see what you did to me there? But I mean, they're the coaches. I was talking about the coaches. They just like to complain, especially about officials. But if you ask them, now I will say this: in fairness, in leagues I was in, there were some good suggestions that came up. You know, so that was good. I mean, I remember we had, like, I'll be honest, some of us, you know, when you work at the non-Division I, and I worked a lot of my and then at Division I, that we would get a guy. And there was another problem. See, that's what I mean. There's so many things that you don't think about. There was a guy. The hell was his name? Jody something or other. He was a big-time ref. I was at a Division II school, not here, one of my other stops. I was in Pennsylvania. Oh, what the hell was the guy's name? I can't believe I can't remember his name. Big-time ref. Worked Big East games. So you would say, well, wouldn't that be great if we can get him? So we got him. We had him at a game at Kutztown. He treated the game like it was his Tuesday night bowling league. Get a few beers with friends. We're playing the game. I'm coaching my ass off because I'm trying to win and do my job. And I turn. He's talking to a guy in the front row. The game's going on. He's having a conversation with a guy in the front row. It's like, Joe, can I bother you to watch here? I mean, I hate to interrupt, but we're playing. You know what I'm saying? And so it was like it was.
What was this guy's name?
I just told you. I said three times. You don't listen until you finally are interested. And you're like, he probably said this, but I'll ask him anyway. I told you I don't remember his name.
I know, but see, this is sometimes what I do. I bring it back up, and then you get
well, you know, because the guy
off,
just texted me. I left this out because I didn't want to break your chops, but said that the thing with Locke at the end was obvious that you weren't listening to the show at all, the guy said.
No. Mr. Texter. And also, some guy just sent in. He was like, Nick is just like his dad. He sucks. And that was a little earlier today.
Why would you share that with me?
Because it was an obvious troll text.
Why do you read them?
Because Locke wasn't going to, but I made him read it. So then I just responded with fair, and I moved on.
Jody Sylvester.
Jody Sylvester.
Ref for 32 years.
That's a good name.
Jody Sylvester, Pennsylvania-based guy. They're talking about reading an article about when he retired. He retired. Seth Davis wrote an article on him. Good Lord, he's got to be dead. No disrespect. He's probably dead. I mean, this was from 2000. He retired in 2000.
I hope he's not dead, and then that way we find another thing.
Jody Sylvester doesn't remember the first game he refereed at the Palestra in Philadelphia, but it's doubtful he'll forget the last. Last week, Sylvester worked St. Joe's 62-59 upset of then-number 7 Temple, a classic game. Sylvester, who's retiring after 32 years as a Division I official. See, that gives you an idea. That was 2000. He refed my game in 83-84, so that was 17 years before that.
Wow.
He could still be alive. No, he's probably still alive. He was 63 when he retired. That was 2000. It's 20 years ago. So he's 83. Life expectancy for guys now is 85.
Well, that's good.
So he's probably still hanging in there.
I'm trying to Google him, but it keeps saying Judy Sylvester. All right, here we go. Let's see.
J-O-D-Y-S-Y-L Sylvester referee comes up. And his last name is spelled Sil, like the color without the R. Sylvester, S-I-L-V-E-S. I spelled it with a Y.
Yeah,
that's why I
didn't
come up. So there you go.
I'm trying to look it up. And also, no, I did that on purpose at the end of the show. I knew Locke said that.
Why did you drop in that a guy hated us both? What value did that add to the show than hoping? You are a passive aggressive. You just like to annoy me.
Really,
break this down for the young listeners.
Arguably.
Why? What did that have any? Like, I didn't say anything, but what the hell did the elephant have to do before? Nothing, but I let it go. I was in the mid. Guys were giving us good texts. We were right in the middle of something. You're like, say anything. Peanuts and elephants. I was like, okay, all right, let that go. That's what he does. But then this.
All right,
did that bring at all to the discussion?
That might not have been the best segue into
what
the
What did it have to
peanuts,
do with anything about it? Okay, forget the elephant.
With
let
the
it go.
Elephant.
What did telling that? I'm not naive enough to think everybody likes you or me.
Right.
But what did that bring to the discussion right then to bring that up?
This.
Exactly?
This is what it brought. Okay. It brought a little bit of spice. And the listeners wanted.
They want to piss me off. They want you to piss me off.
No, they wanted to. Get a response. Get a reaction. Half of these jabronis
they wanted to
just
get,
want to get a reaction.
And the point is, don't give it to them.
No.
People want ice water in hell, too. It doesn't mean, you know, that's the whole point. If their whole purpose to do that is simply to get a reaction, I believe you youngsters call that trolling. So why do you give in to the trolling? It's spitty radio. I almost said the real word, but I didn't want you to have to dump it.
Yeah. It won't be the first time we've had to dump before. Sometimes I feel like the best offense is a good defense. Or, wait, the best defense is a good offense. So it's something like someone's just saying, you suck. Then you just go, yes,
damn
I do.
Damn it, Nick, you ruined it. Why not just play it for Bob and get the reaction? Or, why not ignore the troll?
Because
just a crazy thought. Ignore the troll.
That would require me actually having to do work and cut the thing.
See, because here's the thing. You know what's saved my sanity over the last week? Is that there are a lot of people who and forget about humble bragging. I mean, we do a goofy-ass show. This is as
that's
goofy as
that's what I'm saying. So why
show.
Are no, you upset with the elephant?
Because that was there's a time for goofiness and not. That was not the time for it. But we do a goofy-ass show. So I get that. But there's people who get it, and then the people who don't. And then people don't like it. I get that, too. The point is, I've spent, and people have written me this, and you know what, folks? You are right. I spend way too much time let's just say, even if you think it's 70-30, and I humbly like to think it's a lot more than that, spending way too much time on the 30% who don't like it and just want to troll and disrupt it, why not the people who are there? Hey, this is good. We're here. It's like going to a party, having all these well-dressed, wonderful guests and ignoring them so you can talk to the guy over there who smells like urine. He's swearing at all the guests. He wasn't invited. Why? What are you doing with that person? Why are you hanging out with that guy? Other than to piss me off. Like, then you're like, I'm one of the well-dressed hosts. You go up to the smelly guy. Listen, I can really get under his skin. Watch this. Hey, you know what? You know what smelly man here just said? Why would you tell that to the host? That's why you don't get invited to more parties.
Because it elicits a hilarious reaction.
Which has nothing to do with what was a really good discussion point.
It was a great discussion point.
We're not even finished with it. People gave me, and I said I would give you, I interrupted it myself to give you the rankings, which was worthy of a comment. And then I was going to tell you the good responses that people gave that were about their suggestions about referees. Some of them are really good. That here's, I find some reason to give you the common sense answer. One guy said, if it's so easy for us to see things, thank you, Desi. This is a guy who gets the show. Sorry, but it makes me laugh. I don't think you suck, Bob. That's all he said in the text. Just text us. Thanks, sir or ma'am. But the guy said, if it's so easy for us to see these things, then why don't we have more officials? You know, these games, the players are faster, bigger, stronger. It may be hard for them to see these things. So why not put six officials on the floor? Suggesting you put one on each corner and then one at the corner of the midcourt line. And here's what I would say to you. Okay, there may be something to that. But you know what I guarantee you is going to happen if you do that? You're going to get more fouls called because it's human nature. If they're paying you and you've sat out there and everybody's blowing a whistle and you haven't done anything for 10 minutes, you're going to think, well, I'm here. I got to do my job. And then you'll blow the whistle. And if you blow the whistle, if each of the officials makes two more foul calls, you're going to get 12 more fouls called a game. And if you get 12 more fouls called a game, what is the discussion going to be on that day's morning radio? Why don't they let these kids play all these freaking fouls? So that's the problem. I think one guy made an interesting point and said that I think the rules are too difficult right now. And I think there's something maybe to that in the sense that, like football, defining a catch turned into like a – didn't it go before the Supreme Court? Didn't somebody argue before the Supreme Court about what – see, you aren't listening again because you didn't smile at that. So I'm going to take that goddamn phone and throw it in the hallway.
I'm actually producing.
No, you're not.
Here.
You're just talking to people and looking at peanut videos.
I am not. Look who I'm texting.
What's the IG model? What? So the fact of the matter
just
is,
trying to slide in a little DM and you get all pissy.
The NFL made defining a catch so complicated. Really, I believe Alan Dershowitz got behind it and took it to the Supreme Court.
Ha ha ha! I'm laughing.
Okay, you're going to be that kind of day, huh? Listen, it's going to be really. How far a walk is it for you to get to your car from here? How many miles? Let me look that up. Let's see how far that is. What's her address again? I want to see how damn far you're walking because I ain't driving your ass at the end of the show. I got places to go, so. You'll go get your nice little. You better pick a Dunkin' Donut
Uber.
Up to put on your car.
A Dunkin' Donut?
Yeah, well, the real donut of your car is shot to shreds.
Yeah, I tried to eat it.
No, because I believe you're you're that guy who's driven his donut over 50,000 miles. So,
you know what, honestly, God, I think did it? Hockey skates. It was in my trunk with my hockey skates, and my hockey skates, I think, started
slicing
shredding the outside of it.
So here are the main points that I think are worthy of discussion. What do we do with video replay? I don't think any of us are in 100% agreement, and I think that takes a spirited and long discussion to figure out what exactly we want to do with video replay. I can't look at you while I'm doing the show anymore because you're not here. I don't know where you are, but you're not here. So I'll look outside. Oh, it's flurrying outside. So you can't do a good job with replay until you are clear what you're trying to do with it and how you're going to use it. And that's true for any sport that's using it. So I think that's number one. I think people make that point, and I think you're absolutely right. And I've said, like, just as an example, this is one example, one sliver. So believe me, this doesn't solve the problem. But that play where the guy has the ball and the defender knocks it out of his hands and they play it in ultra, hyper, super slow motion and blow it up to the size where the guy's finger is the size of an oak tree and you see the ball just glances off the fingernail of the guy who was holding the ball and was hit. That's a useless waste of that because I've said this many times. If you are the video should be used so that plays that if you were playing in the schoolyard, they would not, you know, you wouldn't get this wrong. You would, you know, the ball would hit and bank off a guy's ear and go out of bounds, and they, the official somehow missed it. You everybody in school, no, it hit Tommy in the ear, stop, all right, and they'd say, yeah, it hit me in the ear, and then you play. Okay, those are the ones. But that one, there's nobody, if that guy who had the ball, I've said this 50 times on the show, but it's still true. If you're playing in the schoolyard and the guy knocked the ball out of your hands, and the guy who knocked it claimed, it nicked his fingernail on the way out, even his own teammates would choke him to death. You knocked it out of his hands. It's his ball. Give him the ball. Let's play. That's where it's become the little videos become the little nerdy know-it-all in class that is giving you all sorts of things that really are not relevant to ultimately trying to decide who wins the game. But technically, they're correct. No. Technically, you know, that's what you said there is not right. Shut up. I mean, it's just that's what videos become. And you don't want it to be that. I think somebody's got to have the cojones to stand up and say, hey, you're going to have to play through some missed calls. It's been that way forever, and it's that way now, and we're not going to technologize, to make my own word up, that out of the game. So we've got to come make peace with what we want to do with video. We should try to simplify the rules. I think the arc around the basket for the charge block helped. I think we you know, that's the case. But you know, the other things that maybe have got to be discussed that might make it simpler for people. For example, you know, a guy wrote and said, why don't they call that flagrant foul rule at the ends of games? Because the fact of the matter is, you know, it's a strategy. We all accept it as a strategy. We all accept the fact that the team's trying to foul to stop the clock. We get it. You know, that happens. It would be like a football team standing there and not even trying to snap the ball and then get called for delay of game and people getting mad about that. You know, they're doing it for whatever reason they want to. They wanted to back their own punter up 5 yards to give him more room to kick it, whatever. But my point is, there are times you deliberately break the rule in any sport. Why that has freaked people out, you know, because that's why they changed the term to flagrant. But you know, the same thing that people are discussing football, that targeting penalty should have levels like it does in basketball. You know, where one is a flagrant one, and that's just two shots in the ball, and a flagrant two, and the guy gets tossed. Targeting, maybe it should. I'm always looking at the whole picture. The problem with the flagrant one and two analogy is nobody runs the risk of concussion with flagrant one and two a lot. I mean, not flagrant one anyway. If you in football, they're so cognizant of protecting the players' heads because the legal battle that may still ensue over these kids being destroyed. So players don't even know their own names. You know, that's something that they're very cognizant of. So you can't look like you're being cavalier about that. Well, I mean, because suppose it's a play that you don't think was really intended to rack the kid, but he did get a concussion. You call that a flagrant one. People are going to lose their minds. And I don't think you can necessarily say, well, if he gets a concussion, we're going to call it a flagrant two or an automatic ejection. Although, I mean, hockey does that. A penalty that's a penalty is 2 minutes. The exact same penalty that draws blood can be 4 or 5 minutes. So maybe there's something to that. So I don't know. But the video, rules interpretations, the amount of games that referees work, and that would ask for a lot of cooperation between leagues that's not there right now. Maybe if you say maybe the NCAA got involved or enough, but I don't think there's any great desire to do that. The officials certainly don't want it because they want to work as many games as they can. You're taking money out of their pocket. And the leagues are afraid to do it because if you anger them, the best officials will say, well, I'm not going to work in your league. And I still contend that there's not that easy to replace these guys. I don't think most people know what goes into being a referee at this level. I really don't. I mean, if you did, I you still could be pissed, and I'm not suggesting you change your opinion. I mean, I did a game with my new broadcast guy most of the time this year is Sean Kelly. He was the former play-by-play guy for the New Orleans Pelicans. I still get to work with Kesty, but the games that I used to do with Bill Rosinski, I'll do with Sean Kelly. And he was adamant, officiating is a crisis across the country. And I thought, okay, well, if it is, then I got to this discussion. What are we going to do about it? The amount of training that goes in is very, very high. I mean, there's summer camps for these guys, workshops. They have to spend hours during the week reviewing video of their own games, going through each call. They get feedback from their league office. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. So, again, I'm not trying to hear to convince you they're great. I'm just trying to convince you that a lot of things that people seem to be irate about don't have simple solutions. And so, you know, rather than every weekend, it's the same discussion. They stink. I will tell you this. This is now I'm persuading, and I will get nowhere. I don't believe that it's the same way when I was a kid. I used to believe the Celtics got all the calls in Boston. You know why? Because they were a good team, and the Knicks were not that good. So it seemed like they got all the calls because they were always beating the Knicks. That's the argument about Duke. Somebody said about Villanova. I mean, and even if that were true, why would that be true? For what reason would they do that? Coach K, you can say, well, he's really on the refs. He's hard on. Jay Wright is like the nicest human being in the world. He's not scaring the hell out of any referees. So why would they give Villanova breaks? I'm here to tell you they're just trying to get it right. Are there a couple of guys that maybe are not for whatever reason? I don't know, maybe. But 99% of them are just trying to get it right in every sport. They don't hate your team. They don't love that team. They're just trying to get it right. That's the reality. But it's not that easy to get it right. And I don't think we're helping them right now with this intense scrutiny. The players are bigger and stronger and faster than they've ever been. It's a hard game to officiate. And video's making it harder. And somebody said, okay, why don't they just use video? And then a guy said, well, that's kind of the philosophy in England right now in the Premier League. Look how that's working out. That's become a travesty. The coaches, the managers, as they're called over there, are up in arms. They hate it. So, I mean, that's the point. I guess I'm just trying to lay out that I hear you, and nobody is here to tell you good, bad, or indifferent about what they are, but I'm here to say the solutions are not as easy as they may appear to be. We'll take a short time out. Do we have Mill and Tony's here yet?
Mill and Tony's is in the back.
Let's eat some.
Yes. Stop by 1600 South Hirschburn Parkway. Monday's Kids Eat Free, by the way.
Oh, man. You can eat kids for free? They serve children?
No, Dad, no.
That's disgusting.
No. Let's back that up. You cannot eat children at Mill and Tony's.
Oh, okay.
You can eat delicious.
That would have been bad.
You can eat delicious Italian food. Kids eat free on Monday. Of course, they are accompanied by an adult. Kid can't just waltz in there and be like, yo, yeah, and make with the spaghetti. 10% off for senior citizens. Also, they still have their lunch specials, $5.99. Which goes till 2 p.m., including lasagna.
Still got time to get over there today, and it's delicious.
Plenty of time to get over there. If they mention ESPN, it is, you know, we're getting close to the holidays, the holiday, I guess, Valentine's Day. If you want to do a little couples thing, you get 25% off your second dish if you mention ESPN. So stop by Mill and Tony, 1600 South Hirschburn Parkway. And they also have one out in Bardstown. Tell them we sent you. Tell Yaya hello and eat some delicious Italian food. I had just simple chicken Alfredo the other day.
Yeah, and
it was literally
the
best thing I've eaten. And, you know, I always laugh at the things where it's like the year's best film. It's like it's January 6th. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that was literally the best thing I've probably had in the last 6 months.
Yeah, you were pretty rude.
It was so damn good. It was so simple. It was so damn delicious.
Texter says one thing, and then we'll get to our legal ID thing, because I think it's interesting. It says, I heard Perrin say there's no such thing as an over-the-back call. And it's actually pushing. And the fact of the matter is, he said, I've always heard it was over the back. He's right. There is no over the back call. It's a push. The real term is you're pushing. You happen to push the guy in the back, but it's a push. Well, it's the same way people say offensive goaltending when there is no such thing as offensive goaltending.
You have lost your spit over that.
I love my dad, and he was so good about refereeing. No. See, this is. I disagree regarding the arc and charge block. The arc is too large. In fact, it's not as big as the NBA, and the NBA doesn't have as big a problem with this, so I disagree with you. Reduce the arc so it's tighter to the rim. That would defeat the purpose. The idea is to discourage players from trying to take charges that close to the basket. That's not really defense. That's how guys get hurt, and it makes the official's job impossible. The other thing that people haven't talked – do the ID, and then I'll give one other thought, and then we'll get Melatonis. I will. You won't. Wherever you are, you're going to have to drive there to get it.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.